Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a guru shares his favorite places to run in Canada.
In each city, I have kind of a favorite place. You know, if you ask me in Vancouver, I would say up at Pacific Spirit Park, up at UBC, is a beautiful spot. Everybody thinks Vancouver, and they think of the seawall, which is spectacular. But Pacific Spirit Park is an amazing park. You've got over 20 miles of trails within the park. You're right in, near the university, right in the center of a cosmopolitan city. And here you are. You can run on the trails, and I've taken people on there, and they think, wow, we're up in the mountains somewhere, lost and what have you, and you're in this beautiful park area.
Taking on Tokyo in the rain.
Looking forward to next year, if I can get into the London Marathon, getting my 6-star medal, Avid World Majors. So I've completed now Tokyo, Berlin, Chicago, New York, and Boston, and London is last on the list.
And back to life after a heart-stopping finish.
Apparently, I got very, very close to the finish line, and I don't recall much after that, Mark. The race was good so far. You know, I'm in around 2 hours, which is where I wanted to be. But once I hit that the magic 200 meters or 300 meters to go, I had a heart situation, and I fell.
On this edition of iRun Radio, John Stanton of The Running Room will share his favorite places to run in every region of Canada. Also, a runner who just completed another of the World Marathon Majors in Tokyo, and the remarkable story of a runner who has recovered after his heart stopped, literally, at the finish line of a half marathon. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's your week been?
Pretty up and down, tell you the truth, up and down.
Up and down? Why up and down?
I mean, you know, sometimes life is just like that. And I did my long run last Sunday, and during the time change, I just went out there to do my long run, and I didn't eat anything, which didn't, you know, used to be that big of a deal. It was my long, slow day, and I found myself in the unfortunate position of needing to take a taxi cab.
Oh, no.
Make my way back home.
This has happened before. You've told us this story before about bailing on a long run and taking a cab home.
I mean, I guess once you put that into your repertoire, it's no longer verboten, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Stop bringing the phone with you.
No, I don't even bring my phone.
Oh, you don't?
I just lie down on the sidewalk until somebody, rescues me. It's either.
Yeah.
So that's always very disheartening. But it can happen to anyone.
Sure.
And so I on Wednesday, I went out with my run group, and I dropped back a pace group. You know, I was like, the point of this evening for me is just to finish strong. And we did a Hansen ladder, which I don't know if you've ever done a Hansen ladder, but the idea is you do 400, 800, 1200, 1600, 2K, and then work your way back down.
Right.
2K. 62. So it's a challenging workout, and you're supposed to do it at your 10K pace.
Okay.
All right. And I was like, ugh, you know, it was windy and cold. So I was like, the goal here is I need a win under the belt. And I did it, and I ran with it, and I met somebody new in my group, you know, by switching pace groups. I made a new friend, which is always nice. And I tell you, I just felt great. You know, so
good.
it was just what the doctor ordered. And then the weekend, I did a couple of easy runs just to pad my way out, you know.
Nice.
My running life in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, if you need a little perspective, we've got some on the show today, because we're going to talk to a guy who was running a half marathon a couple of weeks ago, the Chile half marathon in Burlington, and collapsed at the finish line. And had no vital signs for about 10 minutes. And we're going to talk to him today because he's okay. He actually was revived by paramedics and went to the hospital and spent a few days there. And it looked really bad for a while, obviously. But he had had a major heart event, cardiac event, and had blockage in one of his arteries. But he's all right. And he may run again one day. So,
what a
story.
Unbelievable. That's so great that he's on the show, and that's so great. You know, he's been out, and of course we work with the Chile half marathon. It's sort of become a real iconic race in Ontario. You know, you get Olympians who participate, and you get, you know, the regular middle of the packers. And I think he's about 60 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
I mean, it's a real big part of the race calendar, and they're top notch pros, and everybody runs the race. And you know, things can happen. Things can happen when you're running a half marathon, or when you're walking down the block to go pick up the mail. So, and when that happens in running, you know, we all kind of pray for the best. So it's just great that he pulled through, and it's great that the race responded. So, I mean, you know, sometimes people, you wonder why your race ticket costs $60 or $110 or whatever it is, but it's for these things. If that happens, and it can happen, they have emergency measures in place.
Yeah.
And thank God they do.
It's a great point.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk to John Stanton on the show today, the founder of The Running Room, which is celebrating its 35th anniversary this year. And John is going to do something pretty cool for us, because here is a guy who has run pretty much everywhere in the country. He spends the whole year traveling, right? He gets a little bit of a break in the winter, but for the most part, from now really through till November, he's traveling from one event to another. Every weekend he's in a different place, at a marathon or at the Around the Bay race in Hamilton, or he's at a half marathon somewhere, the Army Run in Ottawa. Every weekend he's somewhere else. And so he has run all over this country, and he is going to share with us on the show today some of his favorite running spots. And he goes coast to coast in Canada, from one region across the country to the other, from one ocean to the other, in giving us his favorite running spots. So that's very cool. And we'll talk about what he's got on his calendar coming up as well. And what a milestone for The Running Room, 35 years. No,
you know, and when you see people, because I don't travel as much as he does, but I travel my fair share. So I see, and to see the excitement of the people at these expos.
Yeah.
I tell you, John's one of my favorites, because you see John, everybody he's got time for, he's got a smile for, and you know, he could sign the book or sign your bib and you could move on, but John doesn't do that. John will sit and chat, you know, he's got time for every runner.
True.
He really does care.
And we're also going to talk to Rick Shaver, our mutual friend, a guy who has also, like John Stanton, a big traveler. He has been to more than 100 countries in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He collects countries, basically. He is an avid traveler. He's run all over the world as well. And he is working his way towards completing all of the 6 world marathon majors. So that's Boston, New York, and Chicago in the United States. And then Berlin, Tokyo, and London. And he did number 5 in Tokyo recently, and he's going to share that story with us. And this is something I aspire to do as well. So I'm very excited to hear what he has to say.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So
cool.
But I have not done the international ones. And to me, they are, you know, every marathon I've ever run has been in North America. And I've, you know, so the idea of running a marathon, I've traveled to other places, but not run marathons there. And I would love to have the experience like Rick has just had of running a marathon in a foreign country where the language is different and the culture is different. And, you know, it'd be fascinating to see that. And so I'm really excited to hear about his Tokyo experience coming up on the show today.
I tell you, I've run marathons all over the place, but nothing is like, we've talked about it before, but when I ran in Jerusalem, it is extraordinary. And the only thing I'd mention before we get out of here, but Rick wrote a piece, and it's on our blog, about how to pack for when you're traveling to a race.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very, very good.
Okay.
It's very thorough. It's his tip.
Good advice.
This is a guy who knows. Yeah, it's a great story.
Right on. All right, Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate your time, my friend.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, John Stanton of The Running Room. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Great to be joined once again by John Stanton, the founder of The Running Room, which this year, by the way, is celebrating its 35th anniversary. John, welcome back to iRun Radio.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Now, John, you travel all over Canada to go to running events, and the season is just about to start ramping up. There are events in the winter, of course, but things really get going as the weather gets warmer and as spring officially arrives. I know you're going to be at Around the Bay, as you always are. Maybe we should talk a little bit about that event first and then some of the other spring events. But Around the Bay has been going for more than a century now, and it's such an incredible event, steeped in history, and really for a lot of runners, the first event on the calendar every year.
Well, it is. You know, Around the Bay is North America's oldest road race, so it's got quite a title in itself. And anybody who's been anybody and made a name for themselves in the running community as an elite runner has run Around the Bay. For those of us that are just running in the mid-pack or back of the pack or somewhere in the pack, doing Around the Bay is a milestone many of us want to check off our bucket list because, A, it's not an easy course. It's a tough, rugged course filled with hills. Weather conditions are generally very challenging. You often, in the last third of the race, get a headwind as you come into it. But there's a sense of pride and accomplishment that comes from saying, I did the Bay Race. The Bay Race is full of fun events, too. You know, you have the Grim Reaper at the graveyard go by who greets you. You know, you've got Tin Pan Alley where the community comes out with tin pans and bangs them together and cheers you on. You've got a little guy on the hill with a ghetto blaster going, and he's cheering everybody up, playing rocky music as you reach the top of the hill. So there's all this sense of history and involvement and tradition that really makes it very special. And so many people, and particularly some of the more elite people who maybe are getting ready for Boston, it's an ideal tune-up for Boston. It provides a taste of the kind of course that Boston is. It also provides the kind of unpredictable weather that you can get. You know, Around the Bay has had hot, steamy weather and cold, freezing temperatures and everything in between. So, you know, you get to appreciate your level of fitness and where you're at, and it's a great test of fitness for all athletes.
Yeah, it is a great event Around the Bay every year in Hamilton and Burlington, and as you said, the oldest road race in North America. What else is on your calendar coming up? Where else are you going to be as you begin to travel? I don't know how you do it. Every weekend you're in a different place, it seems, from March through till October or November.
Yeah, well, of course, then you get into Vancouver. You got the Vancouver Marathon. You've got the Ottawa Marathon, and Ottawa is kind of the gold standard in Canada for marathons. The three major marathons in Canada are really Ottawa, Toronto, and Vancouver are really the gold standards. But you know, there's also marathons in Halifax. There's marathons in Fredericton, and there's marathons in Quebec City and Montreal. And you know, you can go right across the country. And unfortunately, you know, as the marathons were set up, they weren't set up in geographical locations right time. I wish they'd have started on one side of the country and kind of gradually moved. I could have got on a bus and just gone from marathon to marathon.
Yeah, it'd be like a road trip.
Currently, I get to, one time I'm in Ottawa, then I'm in Vancouver, then I'm back to Toronto, and then I'm back to Calgary or Edmonton or Kelowna or one of the other ones. But you know, regardless of what you want, there's some fabulous marathons. You know, the 25th anniversary of the Okanagan Marathon is coming up this fall, and it's a great weekend to visit the Okanagan if you've never been there before. It's a very flat, scenic course. It's the 25th anniversary. It's going to be very special. The Vancouver Marathon, you know, you're in a cosmopolitan city with the backdrop of, you know, the mountains and the ocean, and it's pretty hard to beat. And then, you know, you can come to Edmonton, and although you're at 2,500 feet or in Calgary at 2,700 feet, I believe it is, you're running at altitude a little bit. But, again, you've got mid-sized cities, mid-sized marathons. And some people like the 5,000-person marathon versus the 25,000 to 40,000-person marathon just because they don't find it as overwhelming. So, you know, and then there's other people who marathons become destinations. You know, they pick one or two or three per year, And they say, okay, we're going to go to Quebec City, or we're going to go to, you know, Niagara, or we're going to go to Vancouver. And they get a chance to run in these various cities. And, you know, they say, well, gee, I've got a, you know, friend or a son that's been in the RCMP. Let's go to Regina and visit the RCMP depot and run the Regina Marathon. You know, there's an opportunity to encompass running in everything you do. So, and that's a great part. You know, if you visit a city like Quebec City, you get to run around the city and you get to explore Old Town Quebec and see some of the history and run the Plains of Abraham and run down in the Old Town and see the you know, plethora of vistas that are there and the historic aspects that are there. It it's a great way to enjoy
sure
the city
is.
And see a different part than if you're on a tour bus.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, so give me a few more examples. What are some of your favorite places to run in Canada?
Well, in Canada, you know, I have, in each city, I have kind of a favorite place. You know, if you ask me in Vancouver, I would say up at Pacific Spirit Park up at UBC is a beautiful spot. Everybody thinks Vancouver and they think of the seawall, which is spectacular. But Pacific Spirit Park is an amazing park. You've got over 20 miles of trail within the park. You're right in, near the university, right in the center of a cosmopolitan city. And here you are, you can run on the trails. And you know, I've taken people on there and they think, wow, we're up in the mountains somewhere, lost and what have you. And you're in this beautiful park area. So it's one of the beautiful ones to do. In Alberta, you know, I love the Edmonton River Valley. It's my home, but it's also, there's over 120 miles of trails in the Edmonton River Valley, and you get to enjoy all of them. And Saskatchewan, Regina is one of my favorite cities, and you know, you think of Regina and Saskatchewan, you think of Pancake Flat, but yet Regina has the Wascana Park and a trail system that goes up towards RCMP Depot, and it's a meandering trail that goes along the creek and around Wascana Lake and what have you. And it's a spectacularly beautiful trail to run. And, you know, Toronto, you know, the Martin Goodman Trail along the waterfront, I know people that live in Toronto because of driving the traffic and getting plugged in there sometimes don't like it. But I'll tell you, when you visit it and you run along there and you have the background of the skyline in the city of Toronto and the waterfront and the greenery, it's a spectacular run and it's a beautiful run. It reminds me of the waterfront in Chicago, only you're in Toronto and you get to run along that. Ottawa, I think, is blessed because you've got shut down some roads and some cyclists and runners, and everybody can run on a Sunday and participate, whether you're a runner or walker or roller or whatever you're doing. You know, you can do it. And in Ottawa, you're close to the Gatineau area where you can run in the Gatineau trails, which are just spectacular. I did a triathlon up there one time, and it's still one of the most memorable runs I did.
Wow.
And then Quebec City is like, you know, you run in Quebec City, it's like going to Europe. You feel like you've been to Europe. And in Montreal, running Mount Royal, of course, is a run you've got to do. And the best time to do that is in the fall season when the leaves have changed and it's colorful and it's spectacular. And then if you want to experience a unique part of Canada that's truly unique and not only the people and the culture and the scenery, but run in St. John's, Newfoundland. It is spectacular. Run down Water Street. Run up. You better be prepared for some hills, though, because no matter where you run in St. John's, you're going to be faced with some
true.
Hills.
Yeah.
What and a great... Go ahead.
This is just such a great tour. Go ahead and finish.
The wrap-up would be, in Moncton. You get Moncton, Dieppe, and Riverview, which are three cities. And I love running in the city because you go through all three cities, which are just connected. They're small cities, but there's a beautiful trail that connects all three. And it's a spectacular run along the waterway. And you get to see the tidal bore come in and out while you're running usually. And it's a spectacular view. And then to finish things off, you can go to Halifax and run Signal Hill or go over to Point Pleasant Park and run in Point Pleasant Park, which is right downtown. That's kind of my tour across Canada and a chance to run in some of the cities. And they're spectacular, every single one of them.
Yeah,
the nice part, the good people in every city.
Absolutely.
That's the nice part.
Yeah.
People say, well, people are different out west, or people are different in Quebec, or they're different in Atlantic Canada. Yeah. We're all the same, and we all enjoy the same things, and we have the same wants and values. And what running does is it kind of unites us together.
Absolutely. What a great tour of Canada you just gave us, John. That's terrific. And you know it so well from having been to these places so many times. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And thanks for being with us today.
Really appreciate your support, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye.
That's John Stanton of The Running Room. Coming up next, a marathon on a rainy day in Tokyo.
iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you.
Rick Shaver is a marathon runner and a world traveler. He's visited more than 100 countries, and he has run all over this planet. Rick recently completed the Tokyo Marathon, one of the world marathon majors. Rick, thank you for joining us once again on iRun Radio.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So how many marathons is this in total now for you?
So this is 21.
Okay.
Boston last year was 20th, and this is 21.
Okay, and Boston last year and Tokyo this year were kind of comparable from a weather perspective, from what I understand. Is that right?
You're exactly right, and it was interesting because there were a number of people that I met in Tokyo that had run Boston before, just by virtue of some of the apparel, the celebration jackets, and as we saw each other and compared notes after the race, it was kind of like, first of all, we gave each other a hug. You know, just to follow up after Boston, and then we sort of compared notes on the weather, which was specific to more the rain and the temperature in Tokyo, but it was nothing like Boston last year, which was, as you know, as a runner in that race, it was epic.
Yeah, so not quite that bad, but it was wet and it was cold, right?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. And before we talk more about the race itself, what made you decide you wanted to do Tokyo? Is this a quest to complete all the world marathon majors?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to next year, if I can get into the London Marathon, getting my 6-star medal.
Okay.
The, Abbott World Majors. So I've completed now Tokyo, Berlin, Chicago, New York, and Boston, and London is last on the list. It was kind of interesting to see, there were 700 people that got their 6-star medal in Tokyo. And at the end of the race, they have a special finishing shoot with volunteers that usher you into this special Abbott tent where they take pictures and award people the 6-star medal and that kind of thing. So I kind of snuck into the tent and sort of took the experience for a test drive, and I can't wait to be legitimate next year and get my 6-star medal.
Congratulations. That's great stuff. So good luck in your quest to get into London, because it is a tough one to get into. But where there's a will, there's a way, and I'm sure you will do it eventually. So let's talk about the Tokyo Marathon experience, because among the marathon majors, it's obviously unique. It's in Asia. It's in a completely different culture. It is a running culture, to be sure. But tell me about the whole experience of going to Tokyo and running a marathon.
Well, first of all, you sign up for a unique experience. It's not as if you're sort of sleeping in a hotel, maybe an hour or so from your home city. This is, 15,000 kilometers away. It's a 15-hour time change. So you know going into it that it's going to be a little bit weird, that you're going to be subjected to some physical jet lag situation that isn't going to be pretty. But you just try and put that in the back of your head. The marathon itself was so well organized. The Japanese really nailed it. I mean, they were admitted to the Abbott World Majors just a few years ago. And in order to be admitted, they really had to prove that they could put on a world-class marathon with all the boxes ticked in terms of what the world majors were looking for. And they've really done that, to a fault in some ways. The roads were pristine, and I know even the races we run here in in North America, you know, they do sort of try and spiff up the roads in advance, but it almost looked like, you know, there's freshly paved and freshly painted, there wasn't a pothole or a bevel or anything anywhere on the course. It was just so perfectly looked after. Our hotel was right on the race course, so overnight, I don't know how they did it, but it went from nothing other than, you know, some banners lining the race course to having barriers, signs, bunting with sponsorship logos, pylons, volunteers. The volunteers were in place hours before the race. I was leaving to go to the start line at 6 a.m. and there was hundreds of volunteers already on the course. It was unbelievable. And these volunteers are all specially uniformed and, you know, supervisors in gray jackets and traffic people in red and fuel station people in blue. And every 5 to 10 meters along the race course, there were volunteers in yellow jackets. And they weren't just there to sort of cheer on or sort of mark the course. They all had garbage bags. So, you know, unlike a lot of our races where you've got gel packs, used gel packs all over the course and cups, there was nothing on the race course because every 5 meters there was a volunteer to pick it up, or we ended up just giving gel packs to the volunteers.
Right.
You know,
wow.
But in there, one other thing, that there, I mean, it wasn't perfect by any means, just because they were so attentive to the details. There was, you know, porta potty placement was executed with sort of, I'd say, military kind of precision. You know, they're perfectly identified with big signs and arrows for runners, and also letting you know how many meters it was to the next porta potty. But in their quest for sort of organizational perfection, there was controversy around the porta potty placements, and some of them were, you know, 100 to 500 meters off the race course. So runners had to actually run an extra 100 meters to 500 meters off the race course and back to use them.
Wow.
So on top of that, there was, you know, long lineups, which caused sort of frustration, and it was time consuming for a bunch of them. So if you look at the strict protocol, you know, in the face of that, the strict protocol they had on cutoff times and road closures early in the race, it caused sort of chaos for the slow runners, particularly those that were, you know, starting at the back of the pack, and they, you know, they're the ones that didn't even get to the start line until 30 minutes after because of the course congestion. And I saw a Facebook post from a backup packer who waited 30 minutes to cross the start line, then 26 minutes in line to use a porta potty at the 12K mark, and then got DQ'd for missing the cutoff time. So there was a bit of backlash on social media, but I mean, they were doing it just to be organized, but there were a number of runners that really paid the price for some of that.
Wow, that's quite a lot of time to lose during a marathon. So I'm sure they're going to improve on that in the future if they're getting complaints about it.
But I agree.
Yeah, but the whole experience obviously sounds very positive for you. How did the actual race go for you despite the weather conditions?
Well, Mark, this of all my races, you know, marathons included, I've always done the due diligence of the right amount of training, you know, usually between, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 K in advance over sort of three and a half months to, you know, ramp up with all the stuff your listeners do, you know, getting the long runs and the hills. But I had a pretty serious Achilles problem, which meant my coach had to convert all of my on-road training to deep water running, to elliptical, and then near the end, some treadmill. So I actually went into the race, including the day before the race. I did 5K around the Imperial Palace in downtown Tokyo, which gave me a grand total of 12 kilometers on the road in advance of this 42K marathon. So
okay, wow.
It was really weird. So as a result, my aerobic was really good because the deep water running is a killer. If you do it properly, it's really hard to do and elliptical. So it was one of the hardest trainings, but my connective tissue and my joints and stuff, it was brutal just to get. So I was well off my sort of BQ time and, you know, that kind of thing But I didn't stop. I went through maybe a couple of water stops, you know, sort of 4 or 5 strides of walking. But aside from that, I ran the whole damn thing.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for you. That's quite an accomplishment under the circumstances. Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
And what was it like spending time in Tokyo? Now, I know you're a world traveler. You've been, how many countries have you been to now?
120.
Okay. So this is nothing new for you spending time in Asia, but how would you describe Tokyo for the visitor?
Well, Mark, it really is a great country. Their culture, you know, their religions, they've got multiple religions. So they've got a lot of ancient preserved Buddhist temples, and they've got another religion called Shinto. So they've got Shinto shrines. The food is extraordinary. You know, the science of food preparation and the different, you know, people think of Japan as the home of it is the home place of sushi, but they've got so many other really interesting foods to try, and we had an opportunity to do that in some really cool restaurants in Tokyo and also in Kyoto and Hiroshima. The bullet trains, that's what a cool experience that is. You're on a train that's going 300 kilometers an hour, and you know, the bathrooms, you know, they've got bathroom seats with heated, every bathroom just about in that we saw had a heated toilet seat and 10 different functions on it, and everything's so clean, and, you know, people, they don't have garbage cans in downtown Tokyo because people take their garbage home with them.
Wow.
They've got great patience as well with foreigners, you know, and they're beautiful modern cities and historic places. But so my wife Jane and I really fell in love with Japan and its people, and we would definitely come back, but there's way too many more countries to see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Rick, it's always great to hear your stories and to hear about your experiences. You're such a knowledgeable traveler and runner. Congratulations on your 5th World Marathon major, and good luck as you chase down London. Thanks for being with us on the show.
My pleasure, Mark. Good to chat with you again.
That's Rick Shaver, who just ran the Tokyo Marathon. Coming up, a runner recovers after collapsing at the finish line. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Scott Matheson collapsed at the finish line of the Chile Half Marathon a couple of weeks ago. And when he was examined by medical professionals, he had no vital signs. Despite the fact that his heart stopped for 10 minutes, Scott was revived and he has recovered, and he joins us today on iRun Radio. Scott, it is great to talk to you.
Well, thanks very much for the call.
So tell me a little bit about what happened. You were running the Chile Half Marathon, which is an annual event in Burlington. Great event.
It is.
It's early in March every year, and I've done it before. Great people organizing that event. And just tell me what you experienced during that race.
Well, it is always the first Sunday in March, and I run with a group called Marathon Dynamics. And about 50 of us were entered in this race. I remember having our picture taken as a group before we started. And not to shoot me down, but apparently I got very, very close to the finish line, and I don't recall much after that, Mark. The race was good so far. You know, I'm in around 2 hours, which is where I wanted to be. But once I hit that the magic 200 meters or 300 meters to go, I had a heart situation, and I fell.
Okay. So just before we talk further about that, had you run a lot of half marathons before?
Yeah, I've done 15 marathons. I've done 40 or 50 halves.
Okay.
My most recent half was in Barbados in December. This was the first half marathon of this year.
Right, but you've done it a lot, and you've
never
had any issues before with
No, I've never had any issues at all.
Okay, so as far as you knew, you were a healthy runner, your heart was in good shape, no reason to be worried about...
I did take about 10 years off when my son was born, you know, put on some weight, but I lost it all. I've started running again in the fall, right? But as far as I was concerned, I was healthy, I'd seen the doctor, my weight was great, he was very happy, everything was good, I was... had no problems before in the past, and I was very happy.
Yeah. So, of course, you don't know everything that happened at that point, but you collapsed near the finish line, and
yes.
What have you been told about what happened?
There was a nurse there first. Her name was Joy, and she happens to be married to Warren, who works for Alan Brooks, who runs Canada Running Series. And so she was the first one on scene who helped me. Then there was a paramedic named Rick, and he did CPR, and he told me that only two out of the last 15 people that he's done CPR on, he's managed to save their life. The finish line is very, very close to the Joseph Brandt Hospital, which is where they took me, and they intubated me, and I was kind of out of it for a couple, 2.5 days. Then they took me to Hamilton General, and they put a stent and apparently cleared a 95% blockage. And we're good to go now. I left the hospital on Monday morning after speaking to the cardiologist several times. I feel a whole lot better. I've been to my family doctor. I'm on some blood thinners. They've asked me to lay off the running for a while, obviously. And I'm going to see my I've been referred to a cardiologist. And once I get to see him, we'll make up a plan.
Okay. But 95% blockage in one of your arteries, and you were running
at
that.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is pretty substantial when you think about it.
Yeah. And, you ran 20 kilometers plus with that.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. So,
and who knows how long I had been running before. I mean, we run every week, 17 to 20 kilometers on Sunday. We do hills. We do speed work. We do stuff. I run on Wednesdays. We do some intensity training. I mean, I'm not fast by any means, but I just go with this group because I enjoy the camaraderie. And, so it could have been there for quite a while. I am so happy that it happened where it did because there were so many people around that were able to help me.
Yeah, that's a great point. And people...
If it had happened 6 or 7 kilometers earlier, I mean, there may have been a nurse there. There may have been a paramedic there. But I really doubt I would have got to the hospital in 2 or 3 minutes. I really doubt I would have, had the same opportunities that I have today.
Yeah. So tell me, has this blown your mind in any way? Has this, obviously you're going to have a different perspective on a lot of things having...
My wife has sort of asked me to cool it down and take it easy. I work for... a guy who's asked me to take it easy and just come back when I can. I mean, I missed 2 or 3 of my son's playoff hockey games, and I was able to go last night, and I guess that was a good luck charm. They won 5-1. But, in the big picture of things, I need to slow down a little bit for now. I mean, I was registered for around the Bay. I was registered for the Mississauga Marathon. I was registered for the Sporting Life Half in May. 10K in May. Those are all on hold now.
Of course.
But, we'll pick it up, I would hope, in the fall or whenever my cardiologist says I can.
Sure.
And we'll pick it up slow and easy.
But you were, from what I understand, you were without vital signs for about 10 minutes.
I was without vital signs, yes.
Yeah. So you were...
I can't exactly tell you how long, but it was for a while.
Yeah.
That's what the paramedic, when Rick came to the room... he told me you were vital, what they call VSA.
Yeah, vital signs absent.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he was really good about it. Joy, she's come by to see me. She was really good about it. Everybody on the ward was really good about it. I mean, I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah. And so has it changed your outlook on life at all?
Well, I'm going to slow down a bit, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a practical thing.
I would still like to run, maybe not. I had planned on doing the Mississauga Marathon. My wife said, how about you just bank the marathons and maybe do halves at the most? I said, that's fine. I'm not a diehard fanatic like some of the people that I know. I mean, to me, it was just like, hey, let's just put one more in the bank. I've done Nana Civic, I've done Barbados, I've done a few, I've done Edmonton, Okanagan, Toronto, Winnipeg, I've done a few bunch, and like one more won't hurt me, so if I just stay away from the full marathons and do halves or 10Ks, I'll be fine. I do it just for recreation and for fun.
Yeah.
I don't go out to set any world records or anything, it's just fun.
So you're determined to run again?
As long as my doctor will let me.
Yeah. And have they said anything like, if all goes well, you'll be able to run again?
I haven't seen my cardiologist yet. I saw my family doctor yesterday, and he's giving me a referral to a group that actually works with a bunch of runners. So I might have a better chance. I mean, there'll be some exercises involved and some patience and some time and probably take it easy and do nothing for a while. But I'm going to do whatever they suggest I do.
Yeah.
Because I don't want this to happen again and, you know, just put a scare into my family.
Of course it did. Yeah. And maybe it's had, I wonder if it's had an even bigger impact on them than it's had on you because they had to live through it.
I think it has.
Yeah.
I think it has. I have a younger son from a second marriage and he's a little, and I've seen some emotional side of him that I never saw before. And my wife definitely the same thing. So I've got to take it easy for them because, you know, I don't want to be gone too soon when I can be here to help them.
Of course. Now you say you're going to slow down a bit, but I just wonder you've had this brush with death. Basically, you were vital
yep.
signs absent for several
yep.
minutes.
Yep.
Does that what does that do to your mind? You know, does it put things in a different perspective going forward?
Well, I haven't really thought about that right now. Like that all day Sunday afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, up until Wednesday morning, I don't recall any of it. Mark, and I mean, I've seen pictures. I mean, they tell me I was out of it. They tell me everybody was in the room crying. You know, I mean, I got to take that into consideration when I, you know, first time I go out, say, okay, let's not try to run a 47-minute 10K. Let's just take it easy and, you know, let's take our time. And I think it did put things in perspective. I mean, I used to walk my dogs quite a bit. We've had somebody walking them this week. I've got to get back into the routine now. But like I said, my ribs are sore. I'm having a hard time sleeping at night simply because the paramedic did such a good job in saving my life. It's hard for me to lay still or sit still for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But the doctor said it'll get better, you know.
Yeah.
Some Tylenol, some blood thinners, you know.
And what does it feel like, Scott, to wake up and have somebody tell you that all of this had happened to you?
I was quite surprised, to be honest. When I got dressed and left the house in the morning, I went to Burlington. I had no idea. I mean, I was feeling fine. I mean, I'm a smart enough guy that if I had been feeling under the weather at all, I wouldn't have gone. I would have said, I'm not running today.
Yeah.
But I'm with a group, and one of the group ladies I was running with, and we ran tandem the whole way. She hit the finish line. She turned around, you know, make a circle at the loop at the finish, and just give me a high five. And before I could get there, I was on the ground. I had no idea it was coming, Mark.
Yeah.
None at all. I enjoy my running. I mean, I'm not like I said, I just enjoy it recreationally and with the group. But, I ran a 3:39 marathon, but that was, 25 years ago. But, you know, I just go and I run for fun now.
Yeah. Well, I hope you are running again soon. I'm glad you're okay. And that
I appreciate the call.
The lasting impact of this is some sore ribs and some trouble sleeping, which are things you can deal with and things you'll outgrow.
I can deal with it and we'll get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
You have a great day and thank you to your audience. All right, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
That is Scott Matheson, a runner from Toronto. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, we're hoping to talk to Canada's record-setting marathon runner Rachel Cliff, and we will have more on some of the big spring running events across this country in places like Vancouver and Ottawa. I hope you can join us next week on iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.